Your word is forever new. Lord, let the newness of your word renew our lives today in Jesus' name. Let the newness of your word renew our marriages. Let it renew our homes, renew our children, even renew your church, O God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Let's quickly open our Bibles to the book of Numbers. Chapter 13, verse 25 to 33. Numbers 13. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back words unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it flowed with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight. What was the gender of the people that were sent to search the land? They were men. When a man starts to feel like he's an ant, when a man starts to think that he's a grasshopper, when he sees his mates, his colleagues, there's something wrong. Among your colleagues, from today, you will never feel like a grasshopper anymore in Jesus' name. You become giants in the hands of the Almighty God, because that's what God has made you to be. If we had time to actually watch the DVD of 2004, you will notice something there. You will find out that I did not actually minister that day. I didn't take the offering. I didn't teach Sunday school. There was nothing I did that day. There were people in the house who did everything. I invited Pastor Williams from Melbourne. So he was a special minister. Special guest who ministered that day. But everything else was done in the house, because God had raised some people for himself. If you look at what happened in 2001, I was actually the cameraman. I was the Sunday school teacher. And I was the one who gave the sermon that day. But by 2004, God had taken us to another level. That we, those of us who were there then, there are probably two or three of us here who are there then. You know, we already had a teaching. We had teams like this. We had a teaching team. We had people who were on roster to teach. And I'm telling you that, in fact, some people who came to visit us from Nigeria, by the time they listened to the teaching at the Sunday school, they went home. When I went to Port Harcourt, and I was invited to preach at Jesus House Parish in Port Harcourt, what everyone was telling me was the story of how somebody taught in our church in Australia, that the pastor in Jesus House Parish in Port Harcourt was telling them that he's never seen Sunday school taught like that before. Unfortunately, some of those people who were teaching at that level in those days, Some of them don't even, some of them may not even go to church for 3 weeks. That's what the devil can do. That will not be your story in Jesus' name. The Lord will elevate you in Jesus' name. When men start to think that they are grasshoppers, they look at other people and they thought they were grasshoppers. When God is ready to do great and mighty things with you and with your life, God is looking for people who will position themselves. He's looking for men who will position themselves. He's looking for women who will position themselves for His use. That's the entree. Praise the Lord. We are going to talk about the men that please God. The men that please God. Jesus, during His lifetime, meant different things to different people. And today is still the same. That Jesus meant different things to different people then. Some people thought He was coming to save the Jews. He was coming to establish government. He was, to some people, He was the miracle worker. To some people, He was the one who fed 5,000. So anytime people are hungry, all you need to do is to go to His crusade. To some people, He was the healer. You only go to Jesus when you are sick. To some people, He was the Lord and the Master. That was what Peter said. He said, when everybody left Jesus, He asked them, He said, will you also go? Peter said, where will we go? You have the word of eternal life. That is in the book of John chapter 6 from verse 63 onwards. He said, for you have the word of eternal life. So to some people, Jesus was the Savior. And what people perceive Jesus as up till today would define their relationship with Him. What you see Jesus as would define your relationship with Jesus. Remember, even in those days in the body of Christ, those of us who have come to workers' meeting in the past, we've taught you about the different level of relationships. If you go to the book of Corinthians, you will remember that there were the 500 who saw Jesus when He was ascending. And of course, there were the 70 that Jesus sent out. There were the 12, the apostles. Among the 12, there were the 3 who were always there, who caught the revelation of who Jesus was. Not all the 12 went with Him to the mountain of transfiguration. And among the 3, we had the beloved. And I've told us before that you can cut a special relationship with God. Today is Father's Day. As a father, will you take time to cut a special relationship with God? If you have never thought so before, I believe today you will change your mind and you will cut a special relationship with God in Jesus' name. We often deceive ourselves when we say God has no favorites. People will say, oh, we are all equal. We are the same. God loves us all. He loves us all. There's the general love that God loves everyone. But there are the people that God is pleased with, that He has special love for them. Go and read the Bible very well. The Bible is replete with instances of people that were specially chosen among or in the midst of their generation. God will choose you in Jesus' name. For example, we know in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30, that God honors some people. God honors the people who honor Him. God draws near to some people. Who are the people He draws near to? He said, draw near to me and I will do what? And I will draw near to you. He also draws near to people who draw near to Him. There are some people who reign with God right from here on earth, who reign with God. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 12, there is a condition for you to reign with God. So not everybody will reign with him, even on earth. Not everyone that is called the children of God will necessarily reign with God. But because there are conditions. In Acts chapter 10 verse 35, the Bible makes us to understand that every man or any man in any land that fear him and walk righteousness is acceptable to God. In other words, God has special favor for people who fear him and walk righteousness. So my mission this morning is to look at a few of the things in the lives of men that please God. And I want to believe that those things will characterize your life from today in Jesus' name. God has special place for men who are worshippers. Did somebody hear that? I said God has special place in the kingdom for men who are worshippers. Not men who are pocketers. People who humble themselves before him. That is one of the problems with this culture. A lot of people, when they go to church, they have 24 hours with their wives. So when they get to church, all they will be doing is... And it's a lie. It does not stop them from cheating on their wife. When they should be honoring God, they will not honor him. That's when they pocket it, you know, as if it's all in all. God has special place for men who are worshippers. God has no special place for men who are sealing canters. When everyone is worshipping and you can't deceal him, God has no special place for such people. A true worshipper lives godly, because the Bible makes us to understand that they that worship God will worship him in what? In spirit and in truth. I want us to open our Bibles to to Psalm 50. Psalm 50. We're going to read verses 22 and 23. True worshippers, they want to worship God in spirit and in truth. Because without holiness, no man shall see God. So whatever will be a barrier to your true worship cannot be in your life. Psalm 50, verse 22 and 23. He said, now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. Whoso offered praise glorified me, and to him that ordered his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. God is saying, when you offer praise to him, when you are a worshipper, you are glorifying him. And when you glorify God, it gives God the permission to move in a mighty way in your life. It gives God permission, because when you worship, the act of worship is an act of submission to the Lord. The act of worship is an act of saying, God, here I am, do what you like with me. Because the lesser worship the greater. Because when you see yourself that you are the handiwork of the Almighty God, and you put yourself in his hand, the one who made you can mold you. The one who made you can recreate something in your life. It was like the destiny of Jabesh was already sealed. But when he came to God, God remolded him and remade him to the point that the glory of God began to shine in his life. The glory of God will start to shine in your life in Jesus' name. But the kind of worship that God desires is not the worship that we can worship in a state of filthiness. And of course, every true worshiper will worship with his service. Let's worship God from our hearts, not just from our lips. The people who will, the men that will please God, they are the people who seek the joy of the Lord. Their gratification. In other words, the things that please them, that make them feel like they are men. The things that make them, that boost their ego, is to seek the joy of the Lord. What boosts their ego is not iniquities. Yesterday we were talking about some of the experiences that people had in the hands of people who were placed in position of authority over them, who will come and treat, they will come and treat people anyhow. As a child of God, your ego does not depend on how much you can oppress people. It will depend on how much you fear God. Because the Bible says, gives us a condition for glory. It says, glory in this, that you have a knowledge of me. Let's look at Psalm 51. Psalm 51, verse 6 to 11. He said, behold, I was shaping iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. This was David crying. And we know that David was a man after God's own heart. David cried unto the Lord, because the joy of the Lord, he realized, was his strength. He realized that he could not survive in a place where he's not, you know, not in alignment with God. The men that will please God, they seek to be in alignment with God. They are not the people who rationalize and say, after all, God bless people who don't, you know, God bless people who don't even know him. God blesses people who don't. Don't worry, all of us cannot be Pastor Jire. All of us cannot be, you know, it's for some people. Is a dangerous place to be. Everyone that will glory in iniquity, God will not, you know, God will not delight in such a person. God will delight in you in Jesus' name. The men that will please God, they care about the legacy that they leave behind. When you read the Bible, I know a lot of us read it this way. When you read King James Version, it says, a good man, a righteous man, he leaves wealth for his children's children. Go and read the Amplified Version. It actually says that a good man leaves strong moral background. Leaves virtue, moral background, for his children's children. It's not just physical cash. The man that will please God, they care about what legacy they are going to leave behind. Fathers in the house, I want you to take note of this. A lot of what is going to happen to your family and to your children after you are gone depends on your relationship with God. Are you listening to that? The destiny of your children, the destiny of your home is in your hands. And a lot of it depends on your attitude to the things of God and to God himself. Because I've noticed that God loves to bless along paternal lines. Am I right? Read the Bible very well. God loves to bless along paternal lines. Open to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy 7, verse 7 to 8. He says, the Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you. He was talking to the Israelite, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. Now, listen to the reason why God is blessing them. Verse 8. But because the Lord loved you, and because he will keep the oath which he has sworn unto your fathers. Why will the Lord bless them, the children of Israel? Because of the oath he made with their fathers. Had the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So the reason why God would choose to bless some children is because of their fathers. If you are a godly father and you have sown the seed of righteousness, and I'm telling you that God will bless your children, he will remember you. When Abraham was long gone, when Isaac was long gone, when Jacob was long gone, the faithfulness of God was still abiding with them. And he said, because I've not blessed you because you have done, you know, you have been the best. I've not blessed you because you are so many. I've not blessed you because you are powerful. He said, I bless you because of my oath, my covenant with your fathers. When God remembers you, when God sees your children, he will remember the good you have done. If you read the book of Genesis chapter 18 verse 19, God reemphasized the same thing. He said, the reason I'm going to bless, you know, he said, I'm going to bless these people because I know that Abraham will instruct his children to follow my law. You see, because of what their father would do, he was going to bless them. So as a father, what are your priorities? What are the things that are important to you? What example are you showing to the kids? It's very vital. Because when you are not there, it is what we have given to them that they are going to rest upon, that they are going to hold on to. I know that the relationship of fathers with their children is changing. If you've read articles about the black Americans, and you'll see it even in this land, I'm not going to mention any group of people. One of the problems with the black Americans is that, you know, that's why a black American, when he earns $500, he will use $300 to buy sneakers. There are no fathers in the homes. The women just give birth to children. There are no fathers. Go and read about it very well. Things are just beginning to change. The fathers are not there. Nobody to give instruction. There's another group of people. Because this message is being recorded, I cannot say. You know, it will be on the website, so people will listen to it. But because fathers are not playing their roles. Some people have taken it to the extreme. You are not just your children's friends. You are their father. You are parents. I'm not saying we shouldn't be friends with our kids. We are. But first and foremost, we are parents. You know, the culture has changed. You know, you hear our son, we'll be calling the dad Jake, John, Jack. You know? And if we are not careful, when you come to this place, you think that's the way to go. You think it's a mark of civilization. It's a mark of loss of authority. And once authority is lost, look, let me tell you something. You are not doing them good. You are not doing them a favor. You see, there's a kids here, they complain about their parents. Everything, nothing is their fault. It's always the fault of the parent because they didn't do what they were supposed to do. Even though you drove them around 12 hours in a day, wanting the best for them, they will still complain. Once the authority of the father is damaged, the home will be damaged. Your home will not be damaged in Jesus' name. The needs of our children these days, it's not like it used to be. It's multidimensional. It's spiritual, It's emotional. It's physical. Of course, we have to teach them the culture of the Bible too. Praise the Lord. So the father has a multifaceted role to play in the home. And mothers in the house, I pray that God will give us grace to support the fathers so they will be who they are supposed to be. They are symbol of authority in the home. Can somebody hear me? Fathers are symbols of authority in the home. Some of them may not like it. They are too civilized. But that's what God meant it to be. And I pray that that God will give the wives grace to hold them that way as symbols of authority in the home. The authority of the man does not depend on how fat his salary is. Your ability to submit to your husband, somebody's ex's husband may be earning 20,000 a month, and your husband is earning 2,000 a month. He's still your husband. You are still the husband. You are still the father of your children. I like the Yoruba. They say something. You may be a lazy man. The rich man will come and take your wife from you, but they cannot take your children from you. What did I say? Fathers are? They are symbols of what? Of authority. Praise the Lord. God is pleased with men who are faithful. Abraham begat many by his life of faith. You too can win many to Christ by your life of faith. Never allow evil to win you over. Those who are denied vigilance, and that's why I said, you come. It's never enough. The word of God is never enough. You know, those who are denied vigilance, I'll just a little bit with them. Go to Psalm 125, verse 3. You see, this is why you need to hold your position as fathers. Psalm 125, verse 3. And that's why God will bless you. When you are at your duty post, God will choose to bless you. He says, "For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous." Why? He said, "For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous." Why? Lest the righteous put forth their hands unto iniquity. In other words, God is saying, He will not make the unrighteous head over you. So that you will not think that the best way to approach life is through unrighteousness. In other words, because God has said you are a symbol of authority, wherever He puts you, He will put you in a place of authority. So that the righteous cannot have authority over you. And so that when people see the way God is promoting you and the way God is dealing with you, they will have no option but to come to God. The blessings of God can work both ways in our lives. I've told us before, the reason why God has blessed many of us is so that we can be that symbol of authority. When people see, look, many of the people in the church here, you know, you are well educated, masters, fellowships, and so many things. When people see you fear God, they will say, who am I? Can you see Dr. So-and-so, the way they worship God? Can you see this person, the way he's serving God? When you go to talk to people about Christ, they will follow you. But if you do not recognize the symbol of authority that God has put upon your life, you are going to miss that opportunity. You will not miss the opportunities of your life in Jesus' name. Today, many people are known more by their deception than their integrity. That's why we lose authority. Abraham was deliberate in faith. So we also, we have to invest in faith, in time, reading the word of God, listening to messages. You can listen to less of Fuji and put a bit more of Some of the messages we preach in the church, put it in your car and listen to it. When you go to work, when you are coming back, listen to it. I do that too. I listen to some of my messages. I listen to other people's messages too. Make some investment. Of course, we were told this morning that we need to have that personal relationship with God. That's part of the investment. To spend time with Him, to pray, to seek His face, to actually hear from Him. It's something that we have to do deliberately. That's why we said, listen for His voice. Not listen to His voice alone. Listen for His voice. Attentively listen. Let God speak to you. When trouble came, the only thing that sustained me was because I know God spoke to me. When my wife would be crying at 2 a.m., I would tell her, I said, this is what God told me. He said, God, I will tell you what God actually said to me. He said, let Him come. I'm set to promote you. And I will never forget that statement ever in my life. He said, let Him come. I'm set to promote you. So when things became tough, I would go back. I would tell my wife, but I told you God said to me. After I've said God said to me, she cannot question me. Because God really spoke. And that was why I knew that the end, God will glorify Himself. God will glorify Himself in your life in Jesus' name. The men that will please God, they will represent God well. Not looking at their own frailties. You know, you have to represent God well in your home. Your children will not fear God if you don't fear God. They notice the contradiction in our lives. It's not just what we say. They notice the contradiction in our lives. When you make mockery of the things of God, they notice it. After you've made mockery of the things of God and you then say, come on, let us pray. Come on. They represent God well. Let me tell you something. Have you ever asked yourself, why was Elijah taken to heaven alive without tasting death? And Elisha, who got a double portion of the anointing, died physical death, like people we know. He was not taken to heaven. He had a double portion of the anointing. Praise the Lord. That's one question I've been asking myself. Have you ever asked yourself why? Why will Elijah be taken to heaven? And you realize, even when Jesus was on earth and the disciples saw the transfiguration on the mountain of transfiguration, who did they see? They saw Elijah there, not Elisha. Yet Elisha had a double portion of the anointing. When I search, I say, God, why would that be? And the answer that came back to me is that because Elijah represented God well. He did not, immaterial of the dangers to his life, he represented God well. You may laugh and say, but was it not Elijah who ran away from Jezebel, a woman? The truth about it is it was not Jezebel that he ran away from. He ran away from the anointing that God has placed upon Ahab, the husband. Otherwise, he could easily have asked that she be killed. He could have commanded that they be struck. That was why it was the anointing of the kingship on them that made him tremble. Otherwise, this was a guy who asked that 400 prophets of Baal be slaughtered. When you represent God well, heaven will always remember. And blessings will be apportioned to you in Jesus' name. He stood in the day when others were deserting God. And you know what? Elijah became a spiritual phenomenon. He became a spiritual institution. How many people do you hear that say, the spirit of Elisha? Do people pray that prayer? Whose spirit do they say? The spirit of Elijah. Because he has become a spiritual phenomenon. By reason of his standing for God, you become a spiritual phenomenon in Jesus' name. People who become spiritual phenomenon, after they are long gone, people remember them. You may have money like Rockefeller. As time goes on, you begin to fade away. But when you make impact on people's lives, T.L. Osborne and all those people who are talking, you know, people will remember the things you have done, the lives you have impacted. And that day when you are standing before God and somebody comes and says, "Thank God, thank you. It was that message that you preached that saved me. Thank God, because you came to my, you gave to me. That was why I knew that it's good to be a Christian. Ah, thank God for the kindness you showed when everyone rejected me. That day, you were so kind to me." And I said, "Wow, this one is different because they know Jesus. And I gave my life to Christ." People who represent God well, God delights in them. God also delights in those who delight in obeying the word of God. Psalm 1 verse 2. He said, but the righteous man, he said, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night." Ah. Quickly open to Ephesians chapter 3 verse 4 and 5. Let me show you something. Because the one who meditates upon the law of God day and night, something happens to his life that I will show to you there. Ephesians chapter 3 verses 4 and 5. Paul said, concerning, as he was writing to the Ephesians, he said, "Whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." In other words, those who will meditate upon the word of God, the mystery of God becomes open to them. The mystery of God becomes their own way of life. There's a revelation. And the way you will know that you have a revelation is this: that knowledge of God begins to change your life, begins to make a difference in the way you live your life. Let me tell you, the reason why lives are not changing is because we haven't got a revelation of God personally. God will show you uncommon knowledge of him. Paul said, long before he came, long before he was born, things that were not known. Let me tell you, there are still many mysteries that people haven't known yet. You see, even yesterday when I was reading the Bible, I saw some things. I will share it with you now before we close. And I was actually, these are places I've read over and over and over again. And you just see some things there that are, the mystery of God. He will just reveal it to you. It will be life-changing. Your life will change for good in Jesus' name. You see, many people are content with general knowledge. They are satisfied with general knowledge. You know, you must possess that personal knowledge that is life-changing. 7 and the last one. Those who will please God, they are the people who will share and join to pursue godly vision. When you share in godly vision and you pursue it, God is well pleased with you. Such men will have inheritance with the saints. An example I will give to you is Joshua, which means Jehovah is salvation. And Joshua actually lived through to his name. Now, let me quickly go through the life of Joshua with you. Let me ask you a question. I've shared this with you before. How many people caught the vision that the children of Israel should leave the land of Egypt? How many people did God give that vision to? How many? Huh? How many? Just one person. It was Moses in the wilderness. When God said, "I've heard the cry of my people," He said, their cry have come to me. It's time for me to deliver them. Moses was the only one. But Joshua joined in that vision. And he pursued it. That's why I like to use his life. And I traced the life of Joshua. And I didn't know this before until I actually saw it. Let's open to Exodus chapter 17. Exodus 17. Verse 9 to 14. I will quickly read. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the mountain. Now, you remember this story. This is when the children of Israel were fighting. Joshua was the one who led the fight. Moses, Aaron, and Hur were on the mountaintop. And Moses held the staff. You remember, every time the staff dropped, what happened? The Israelites will be losing. To the point that they had to put a stone down for Moses to sit on, and they helped to hold the hand of Moses until victory came. That's the first time you hear about Joshua. Now, let's look at the next time you are going to hear about Joshua. Let's go to Exodus chapter 24, and I will show you something there. 12 to 18. Read this very well. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone and a law and commandment which I've written, that thou mayest teach them. And Moses rose up, and his minister Joshua. And his minister Joshua. When you say somebody is somebody's minister, what does that mean? What's the other word for his minister there? His servant. That was his servant. The person he was, errand boy. And his errand boy with him. And Moses went up into the mountain of God. And he said unto the elders, tarry ye here for us until we come again unto you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man may have any matters to do, let him come unto them. And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai. And the Lord covered it 6 days, and the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. Praise the Lord. Now listen to this very well. Moses was in the mountain, was on the mountaintop. How many people were on the mountaintop that day? How many people? There were two people on the mountain. Joshua never got a mention. He never got a mention, but when you look at what happened, what actually happened was that as Moses was going, he took Joshua with him to that place. All the revelations that he had, Joshua was with him. All the elders, he said, tarry for us, wait for us here. Which means he went with Joshua to the mountaintop to receive from God. Now, you will see the importance of this later. Because if God is going to do great things in your life and make you what he wants to make you as a man, as a woman, there are things that need to be right. Open your Bibles to the book of Numbers. Joshua was there all the while. Numbers 27. I'm going to read verses 18 and 20. Now, Moses was getting to the end of his ministry. Look at what happened there. I keep telling people, it's about apprenticeship. It's about tutelage. The things of God is about tutelage. It's about sharing the vision and pursuing it as if you are the one doing it. You don't have to be the head. If you are not a good follower, you can never be a good leader. But when you are a good follower, when your time comes, God will showcase you in Jesus' name. Look at Numbers 27, verse 18 and 20. Read something there. And the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thy hand upon him. But that's not where I'm going. Look at it, verse 19. And set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight. Now look at this, verse 20. And thou shalt put some of thy honor upon him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. What happened there? He said there was going to be a transfer of anointing. In order for Joshua to become operational, in order for Joshua to become effective in the call of God upon his life, he said, now the time has come. Even though he has been there with him all along, God now directed Moses, said, put your hand upon him, anoint him, bless him. He said, I'm going to transfer some of the honor upon your life unto him. Somebody said, it's the same anointing. That is why I'm generally very careful. Even when there was a lot of difficulties with, you know, the church where I was ordained, I made sure that the man who ordained me, I try not to say negative things about him. Because there is a transfer of anointing. 10 people can be ordained. 1 will prosper. 9 will not prosper. It's so important. There has to be a transfer in order for it to be effective. He said, put some of the honor. The honor of Moses came upon Joshua. Maybe if Joshua had known, he could have asked for a triple portion of the anointing. Praise the Lord. So Joshua only became fit for the job after Moses has put some honor upon him. It wasn't the whole honor. He said, some of your honor. The message there is this. Joshua yielded himself. He yielded himself, and that was what made it possible for God to use him. And in closing, there is nobody that God cannot use. God can use you mightily. He can use you mightily. Your history, I've said it before, or where you are now is immaterial. You don't need to have a name. You don't need to have many letters behind your name for God to translate your life. Now, open to 1 Samuel chapter 22. 1 Samuel chapter 22. As we close, chapter 22, verse 2. There's a message there. He said, and this was when David was running away. He said, and every man that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men. Can you see the kind of people that gathered unto David? They were who? They were debtors. The oppressed. People who have no name in the society. The rejects. They were the people who gathered unto David. Open to 2 Samuel chapter 23. Look at what happened to the lives of these people. The oppressed, the rejects, the debtors, the poor. 23 verse 8. When God was going to refer to them, what did he say? He said, these be the names of the mighty men whom David had. The rejects, the debtors. When he got to 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 8, they became the mighty men. God will make of you a mighty man in Jesus' name. That's what I'm saying to you. What is important is your yieldedness. You don't need to have letters behind your name. Just plunge yourself into the things that God is doing, and you will see what God will do with your life. He will create beauty out of your life. He will cause your life to shine forth. That's what he can do. Men that please God. I want to believe that fathers in the house, from today, your life will change for good in Jesus' name. Your lives will please God in Jesus' name. You are a symbol of authority. You will not be dethroned in Jesus' name. Some people's sickness dethrone them. Some people's life circumstances dethrone them. Life circumstance will not dethrone you in Jesus' name. There is a testimony I will have shared with you, but if I share that testimony with you, you will know the person, so I'm not going to share it with you. I've seen people dethroned by life circumstances. That will not be your portion in Jesus' name. Let's rise up. Why don't you just thank God? Just thank God for the word of God today and say, Father, let my life please you. Father, especially the Father, let my life please you. Let my life please you, O God. Make of me an institution in your kingdom. Let my life so much please you that you make of me an institution. The Bible said Enoch walked with God and he was translated and he did not see death. You too can walk with God. I can walk with God to a point that God will be so pleased with me. God will be pleased with you. Thank you, Jesus. All glory, all honor to you, O God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Lastly, ask God, say, Father, put me in a place of honor in Jesus' name. Put me in a place of honor and honor me. Because it's the honor of God that is most important. That God will just honor you. That God will show you his faithfulness. Because when you honor him, he will honor you. Ask that God will honor you. Put me in a place of honor, O God, and honor me, O God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Commit our homes to the Lord and say, Father, by reason of what we will do, you will remember your covenant with us when it comes to the time of our children. You will remember your covenant with us when it comes to the time of our children's children. Because the Bible says you will remember your goodness up to 1,000 generations. And I can tell you, up to 1,000,000 generations. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Father, we give you all the glory and all the praise. Thank you for your word, O God. That life-changing word has changed life from today. Every father in the house, the symbol of authority that you represent is what you will be in Jesus' name. Everything that turns you to grasshopper in your own eyes, that has changed from today in Jesus' name. Receive a new spirit in the Lord. Receive a new spirit in the Lord. Everything that makes you to command honor, command respect, command authority, we never depart from your home in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray.